For if the blood of goats and of oxen, sprinkled, sanctify, how much more shall the blood of Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Did you ever get sprinkled, I mean really sprinkled good, at the asparagus? Hit right in the eye, or maybe on your glasses, or plop a drop of water on the page of your missal. The priest doesn't specifically aim at people, of course, and only a few actually are touched with the holy water, depending, but it does count, being here, I mean, for being sprinkled by the symbolism of this sacramental, which ultimately stands for the blood of Christ, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For Christ, in the Mass that follows, offers himself unspotted unto God for you. I told the 7:30 people today that even if they would never dream of coming to the High Mass, they're still sprinkled with the precious blood. The holy water you take at the door whenever you enter church is a symbol of purification and protection in preparation for your next Mass. High or low, it makes no difference. Every Christian is sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, for St. Paul says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that shedding, that's the Mass. This sprinkling takes place whenever Mass is celebrated. Bodies are not sprinkled, I mean, but souls are. In the Passion, the precious blood was shed in abundance and left there on the ground, the pavement of the soldiers' barracks, almost a puddle, and then fell, or was sprinkled in great drops all the way up the hill, hitting the garments of the bystanders or the executioners. But at Mass, it goes to the soul of everyone who participates. Moses sprinkled animals, goats or calves' blood, which had been sacrificed to God. And this justified the Jews externally, legally. Interesting to note that this is the justification claimed by the Protestants, who do not believe they are made holy by the Holy Ghost. Not cleansed in their conscience, but that their sins are only covered over by Christ, not taken clear away. But for us today at Mass, this spiritual sprinkling then of blood, not of water, is far more beneficial than any material one could be. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who was a great saint of the precious blood, said, "This blood imparts to souls such a splendid, shining garment that if you could see it, you would want to fall down and adore it." Go often to Mass and come away cleansed, clothed with regal beauty, if only you could see how it works. On Passion Sunday, you don't see the saints anymore. They've disappeared beneath their purple shrouds, waiting for the resurrection. As though to force our focus, the eye, the heart, on the altar for the great sacrifice, the Passion of Christ, is there prolonged. Why is it that he who died at Calvary, who sacrificed himself once and for all, who entered into the holies, says St. Paul, once, should nevertheless prolong and make truly present his passion until St. Paul says he comes again in glory. Well, lest perhaps you or anyone would have occasion to think that you missed out on something because you were not there that day when they crucified my Lord. Of course, Christ died as much for you as for those faithful few gathered about the cross. He died for you and for many and for the salvation of the whole world. Besides, divine wisdom has devised a means whereby our Savior daily sheds his precious blood and applies it to our souls, declaring himself willing to hang upon the cross, not for 3 hours only, but sacramentally until the end of time, in order by his blood to satisfy for the sins of his people and to sprinkle them with every grace and heavenly benediction. And that day by day in the Mass, in which he speaks to his Father, he might show him his wounds as he saves us from eternal death. That is why the Passion is prolonged in every Holy Mass. By this means, Jesus applies the virtue, the power of his precious blood to each soul individually. We are not a collective. No, true, we were not there at Calvary the first Good Friday, but we are here this Passion Sunday, saying with St. Augustine, the blood of Christ is shed for sinners in Holy Mass. Blood shed, yes, and more. His hands are wounded. He hangs on huge nails, his feet transfixed, his side opened, his heart broken and drained. The unspeakable love of Jesus for poor sinners. That it should be shed, this blood, daily and hourly for us and for our salvation, around the clock and around the whole world. No wonder, St. Alphonsus says this. This was quoted by Bishop Piverunus in one of his recent bulletins. He had two quotes that were very powerful. St. Alphonsus, in a book for priests, wrote, "The devil has always attempted, by means of heretics, to deprive the world of the Mass, making them precursors of the Antichrist, who, before anything else, will try to abolish and will actually abolish the holy sacrifice of the altar as a punishment for the sins of men, according to the prediction of Daniel, and strength was given him against the continual sacrifice." This past Wednesday marked the 50th anniversary of the official abolition of the Mass, the imposition of the Novus Ordo by Paul VI, who is no saint. It redefined the Mass even as it rewrote it, and that with the help of Lutherans and other Protestant experts. It was presented now as the Lord's Supper, the assembly of the people, with the priest as presider or president in his chair. No word of sacrifice, Luther would have been pleased, in this non-Mass. In our Mass today, in the Gospel, the Jews call Christ a Samaritan, and some of the fathers say, well, that means schismatic, to worship in the wrong place. And they say he has a devil. They could not accept the lamb whose slaughter that Passover would fulfill and finish the temple sacrifices and redeem through him all the world. No, they wanted a military Messiah and a military victory, the equivalent of the West Bank or the Golan Heights. Is always something crying out to be conquered. Jesus came to conquer souls and to win for himself from his Father the eternal kingdom of love. They call us, the modernists do, they call us after the master schismatics, for we reject their defiled temples and do not go there, and there are no mass there anymore. Listen to Father Fahey, the great Irish prophet and apostle of Christ's kingship. All the frightful energy of Satan's hatred, he wrote, is especially directed against the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Arrayed with him and animated by the same hatred, there is an army of invisible satellites of the same nature. All their efforts are directed towards preventing its celebration by exterminating the priesthood, towards curtailing its efforts. If Satan cannot succeed in completely doing away with the one and only acceptable act of worship, he will strive to restrict it to the minds and hearts of as few individuals as possible. We're almost there, but Satan hasn't quite succeeded yet, and will not as long as there is one valid and licit Holy Mass offered somewhere in the midst of this worldwide apostasy. Still, the social upheaval, hurrying towards its breaking point, bears noisy witness to the practical disappearance of the great sacrifice. Terrible as it is, Dom Guéranger, remember, says this, but it is only the beginning of that which is to come, when the devil and his agents, let loose upon the earth, will pour out torrents of trouble, of desolation, everywhere, as Daniel predicted. And this by preventing true ordinations, we know, and true masses. We've seen that in our lifetime. But today, Mass is offered. And God grant that it will be tomorrow as well. This is the last of our Lenten Sunday sermons on the Mass. We looked at the four ends or purposes of the Holy Sacrifice. We considered God's gift, man's debt, and Satan's theft. The Mass, remember, to your consolation, is an event in God's sight which directly touches his glory. Dom Guéranger says, as we looked at this early in Lent, God couldn't despise the voice of this blood, 1,000 times more eloquent than Abel's. The Father is obliged to regard it with special attention because his own glory is here at stake, because his own Son, the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, hangs here, suspended between heaven and earth in sacrifice, shedding that blood which wins us the redemption, the remission of our sins, to sanctify us, and by its sprinkling, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.